IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
By Allah's name we start. Dear brothers and sisters, salam, welcome. This is another new episode of today's special on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sajjad, Shia's fourth Imam. So please accept our condolences on this sad day. Today, 12th of Muharram, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Tir, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of July, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Shia's fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him. We offer our condolences to all of you, dear Shia Muslim brothers and sisters.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, where little children die. Hussein said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein.
Imam Sajjad, the flag bearer of post-Karbala era. The history of Islam showed that the Imam had an effective role in the incidents after the Karbala uprising. Since Imam Sajjad was so ill, he was unable to participate in the jihad with his father. During his 34-year imamate, in addition to conveying the message of Ashura, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, attempted to keep alive this great event in people's minds so that this great epic would inspire the next generations and nations in fighting oppression and injustice. Imam worked much to express the principles and teachings of Islam. With his successive Hajj pilgrimages, Imam Sajjad expressed the deep and interesting fact of Islam for Muslims in the farthest parts of the Islamic world. The words of Imam Sajjad obliged the people to make a deeper study and investigation to assess the importance and value of this rising in the history of Islam and to find out what these persons were saying and what weight their words carried and why they were not calm and quiet like other people and why they were not willing to accept any offer made by the ruler in power.
One of his servants tells him, Ya ibn Rasulullah, why do you cry so much? He says, woe upon you. He says, Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam had 12 sons. He lost one of them. And he was alive. Yet he cried so much that he went blind for him. And I saw 18 of my family members. And my father, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, and my uncles getting slaughtered right in front of my eyes. And you don't want me to cry for them. But he was asked, what was the most difficult part of your journey, Ibn Rasulullah? Was it Karbala? Was it Kufa? He replied, Asham, Asham, Asham. Taking us to Sham was the most difficult part in the journey. When we entered before Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and I was bleeding, Al-Minhal, who was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alih, says, I came to visit Sham. I saw the people are celebrating, the women are dancing, the drums are beating. I wondered, do the people of Sham have a Eid, a celebration that we've never heard of? What is the matter? They told me, oh Minhal, some enemies of Allah have come against the Khalifa, and Allah has enabled the Khalifa to win victory against them. He said, I was walking, I passed one of the alleys in Sham. I saw old men crying. I approached them. I told them, why are you crying? The whole city is celebrating. They thought I was a spy initially. They kept quiet. I told them, no, I am Al-Minhal, a man who met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala. I heard his hadith. They said, Ya Minhal, ajaban lissama'i lam tantabiq ala al-ard. It is a strange thing that the skies haven't collapsed on the earth yet, Ya Minhal. What is the matter? Haven't you heard? No, I haven't. Hussein has been killed in Karbala, Ya Minhal. And his family are being brought as prisoners today. Where are they coming from? He said, a gate that's called Gate of the Sa'ad, the gate of the clock. He said, I ran to that gate. From a distance, I saw the caravan coming in. I looked at Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. He was wearing red shirt. I was surprised, for Bani Hashim usually don't wear red shirts. But as I approached the Imam salamullahi alayhi, I saw that the shirt was not red, but rather it had turned red from the blood of the neck of Imam salamullahi alayhi. I came to him. I said, Assalamu alayka ya ibn Rasulullah. Al-Minhal, he said, he looked at me, Imam looked at me and said, who are you? Everybody is throwing stones at us. Everyone is cursing us. But you're saying salam to us. He said, Ya Sayyidi, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I am Al-Minhal. I'm a man who's met your grandfather, Rasulullah. I've heard his dua and his hadith. Do you want any help? Can I help you with anything? He said, do you have an extra piece of a cloth that you can give me, Ya Minhal? Yes, Ya Ibn Rasulullah. What do you want to do with it? He said, I want to keep it under my neck, between this jami'a, this chain and my neck. For indeed, it has really ripped through my neck. They entered into the city of Sham. People started throwing stones and rocks. At one point, they also threw some fire. Imam was in chain. He could not stop the fire from coming over to his body. At that moment, he was in severe pain. He started reciting these verses in poetry. He said, Ah, أقعد أسيرا في البلاد كأنني عبد من الزنج غاب عنه نصير وجدي رسول الله أحمد وشيخي أمير المؤمنين أمير فيا ليت شمي لم تلدني ولم أكن يزيد يراني في البلاد أسير. He said, I'm being dragged in the streets here in Sham as a prisoner, when in fact my grandfather is Rasulullah and my grandfather is Amir al-Mu'mineen. I wish my mother had never given birth to me. Allahu Akbar. Some people would say, how could the Imam say this? It was not an easy time for the Imam. This was not an easy time for the Imam to see his children, to see his wife, to see his family, his sisters, his aunts in such a state. Very difficult for the Imam, salamullahi alayhi. I wish my mother had not given birth to me, and nor Yazid would see me as a prisoner in his land. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalbi yanqalibun wal aqibatu lil muttaqin.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
Imam Zainul Abidin enjoyed great popularity. The people spoke with admiration about his knowledge, his jurisprudence, and his act of worship. The Imam occupied the hearts and feelings of the people. This situation frightened the Umayyads, especially as it concerns Walid ibn Abdul Malik, who was the most spiteful toward the Imam. When the Walid became king, he decided to assassinate the Imam. He sent poison to his governor to Medina and ordered him to mix the poison with liquid and give it to the Imam. The poison reacted on the Imam's body and he suffered severe pain. The Imam remained on the bed of illness for some days. The people crowded to visit him and he, peace be upon him, praised and lauded Allah for providing him with martyrdom at the hand of the most wicked creature. Condolences on the sad occasion of Imam Zainul Abidin's martyrdom.
Hope you have instilled in our heart, in a world where hopes disappear. Peace you have ingrained in our soul, in a time when peace becomes rare. Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave. Mankind's heart it reawakened.
Now let's look at the situation of Imam Sajjad after tragedy of Karbala. When the young Ali took the mantle of imamate, time were hard on the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. On the 10th of Muharram, at the time of Asr prayer, when his father Hussein was alone in the battlefield, he withdrew to the camp of his ailing son, came beside his bed and told him that the story of Karbala was over, that he was about to go to sacrifice his own life for Islam. In Karbala, all male children of Ali and Hussein were killed except Ali ibn al-Hussein, who with providence became so ill that he was unable to participate in jihad with his father and survived the massacre. He was taken captive and was brought to Kufa and then to Damascus in chain. In spite of his illness and humiliating position in front of Yazid, the Umayyad ruler, when Yazid addressed him in an insulting manner, saying that his father wasted his life by refusing to give the oath of allegiance to Yazid, Imam replied, "It was to save Islam." They were wondering how Islam was saved. When time for Azan came to the Muazzin, screamed for the minaret, "I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." Imam shouted to Yazid, "This is the way Islam was saved." People would have forgotten the name of Muhammad as the messenger of Allah if his grandson would not have shown the world that you were a ruler by default.
Oh, people rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbala. Oh, people rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbala.
our time is up. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of today's special on Muharram. And we hope you pray for us too in your dua and supplication. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محيا ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed listeners and audience on the martyrdom of Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the fourth Imam of the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for you a beautiful hadith narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, the son of Imam Sajjad, regarding his father. This indicates the status of Imam Zainul Abidin, his virtues, as his nobility, and as well as his social services that he conducted with the people of his time and his era. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "Verily, he," meaning Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, "used to provide for 100 households from among the poor of Medina. He liked for the orphans, the needy, the disabled, the poor, and the destitute to be present at his food spread, at his tablecloth." He liked this, he enjoyed this, he invited these groups of the needy to come and eat with him. Not only did he invite them to come eat with him, rather, he also personally and individually served them the food. And this is why, in continuation, Imam Baqir says, he served them with his own hands. وَكَانَ يُنَاوِلُهُمْ بِيَدِهِ. Then the Imam says, if anyone among them had a family, he used to take the food to their household, and he wouldn't even, give them some food and say, hey, take this for your family, you know, at home, they might enjoy it. No, he would actually personally, take the food packet and, come with that person and give that food to that needy person's family. You know, if somebody comes to our house, a needy person or something, and to come eat with us, sometimes we give the person the food and say, hey, you can also give this to somebody, part of your family members or whatever. But who is like Imam Sajjad, who would actually go with the person to his house and take the food to his house? This is a very virtuous and noble quality that we, that is deserving to be adopted by us. In the end of this hadith, Imam Bakr alayhi salam says, he never ate any food, but that he first gave charity from it. Right. So not only did he invite these poor people to his house, not only did he serve them with his own hands, not only did he take the food for their family, but he never even began and ate the food before them. Rather, he would make sure that they would be the first ones to eat from it, and then would he begin eating himself. What a good model and a good example Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was for us. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. Once again, we would like to offer our condolences on the martyrdom of Imam Sajjad. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio from all over the world. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad having Brother Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Akbari, and Hussein Ruhullah with me today in this session. Welcome everyone. Hussein Ruhullah, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Welcome. Are you fine?
Thank you, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hussein Akbari, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan Nasrullah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Everyone is great. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you are doing great. Inshallah, we will talk about Ayah 177 and 178, Surah Al-A'raf. Tell us the page.
173.
Brothers and sisters, you know the page, the surah, the ayah. Page 173, Surah Al-A'raf, two verses, ayah 177 and 178. If you agree, we will listen to a recitation. Ready?
Yes.
Agree?
Yes.
Let's listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سَاءَ مَثَلًا الْقَوْمُ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَأَنفُسَهُمْ كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ مَن يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي وَمَن يُضْلِلْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. So, ayah, the first one, ayah 177, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, سَاءَ مَثَلًا الْقَوْمِ it is, but you read it, مَثَلًا الْقَوْمُ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَأَنفُسَهُمْ كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ Next ayah. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ It becomes مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُطْلِلْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ Allah Almighty says in ayah 177 that evil is the parable of the people who deny our signs and wrong themselves. All right, so it means those who deny our signs and wrong themselves, okay, they are what? Evil people. All right, and Allah says in the next ayah, whomever Allah guides is rightly guided. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ And whomever he leads astray, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ It is they who are the losers. Let's read once these two verses. Let's practice them. And inshallah, we'll talk about the messages of these two verses. All right?
Okay. Yes.
Hussein, would you read the first ayah? سَاءَ مَثَلًا الْقَوْمُ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَأَنفُسَهُمْ كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ Read it.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ سَاءَ مَثَلَ الْقَوْمُ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَأَنفُسَهُمْ كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ
Could you read it again?
سَاءَ مَثَلَ الْقَوْمُ
Wait. There is a very beautiful point here. Wait. Hussein Rahullah, what do you know about this rule? The word سَاءَ, is the mad wajib first or no?
Yes.
سَاءَ, it's wajib, yes?
Yes.
You should extend it for how many counts? Five or?
Six.
Six counts. You have to extend it. Okay. The word مَثَلًا Al-Qawm, how do you read it? Hussein, Ruhullah, you know?
مَثَلًا Al-Qawm.
Hassan, what do you say?
مَثَلًا
مَثَلًا Al-Qawm.
مَثَلًا Al-Qawm.
مَثَلًا Al-Qawm. Hussein, what do you say?
مَثَلًا Al-Qawm.
مَثَلًا Al-Qawm. Well, the rule is this. مَثَلًا when Tanween reaches Hamzatul Wasl. Okay? When Tanween reaches
Hamzatul Wasl.
Is Hamzatul Wasl used for this that because the word which has Hamzatul Wasl it starts with Lam al-Ta'rif exactly. Lam, yes? Mathalan and then Al-Qawm. Lam al-Ta'rif is there. Lam is the Lam al-Ta'rif, okay? It's called. The word is Qawm, but Lam it means a special Qawm, that Qawm. It becomes. So lam is sakin or no? See? Is that lam sakin?
Yes.
So you cannot read a word which starts with a sakin letter.
Yes.
That's why you use hamzatul wasl and you put a sign on hamzatul wasl. You put fatha on the top. You say al-qawm. This way you read the word. Okay? You use hamzatul wasl for this. But now you want to read the word before hamzatul wasl. And you want to join the word before Hamzat al-Wasl with the word having Hamzat al-Wasl. So when you join them, you don't need Hamzat al-Wasl anymore. Because you needed it when you were not able to read the word, okay? But now that you join one word before it to the word having Hamzat al-Wasl, so the word will be pronounced, yes? Because you're joining two words. So yes. When you're joining, the lam, which is sakin, it will be pronounced. All right?
Yes.
Yes.
For example, we say ard. We say, for example, bihil ard. For example, bihil ard. For example, all right. So bihil ard. You do not say the hamzatul wasl. Al ard. It is hamzatul wasl is skipped because you joined the previous word. So with the previous word, you read the letter which is saakin. Okay. So in this case, you don't need hamzatul wasl.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
The same as this one, مثلاً القوم. When you join the word مثلاً to القوم, you don't need Hamza al-Wasl anymore. You ignore Hamza al-Wasl. So, لام ساكن. مثلاً ends with نون ساكن. نون ساكن, لام ساكن. The situation got worse. We had one ساكن letter, it was better. But now we have two ساكن letters. مثلاً القوم. How do you read it? مثلاً القوم. Yes? Because you skipped Hamzat al-Wasl. Jose? You skipped Hamzat al-Wasl.
Yes.
It got worse. مثلاً نون ساكن. القوم لام ساكن. Yes, Hassan?
Yes.
What should we do here? The rule is very easy and it fixes it very well. It says that مثلاً the تنوين ends with a نون ساكن sound. Yes? It says that مثلاني put a كسرة below the نون sound. مثلاني إذ التقط الساكنتين حرك
بالكسر.
بالكسر. Alright? When two ساكن letters usually it is with tanween. When tanween reaches a saakin letter, so here the tanween sound, the nun saakin sound. Mathalan, lan, the nun saakin sound. We'll have a kasra. Mathala,
nilqaw.
Nilqaw. Mathala, ni. Then join ni to lam. Mathala, nilqaw. Hussein, did you get it? Mathala, nilqaw. How? Mathala,
nilqaw.
Read it now. ساء مثلاً القوم
ساء مثلاً القوم
أحسن. This is great, okay? التقاء الساكنتين, it's called, okay? When two ساكن letters meet up, you have to assign the first ساكن letter with كسرة. Usually you do it with كسرة, but not only كسرة, فتحة is also done. ضم is also, okay? هم Al-Kafirun, for example. Hum ul-Kafirun. Humul kafirun. Here you have Dhamma. Min al-Ard. Min al-Ard. Fatha is used on Nun Sakin, okay? So usually you do it with Kasra when it's Tanween. Alright? The rest of the cases you do with Fatha or Dhamma also. You use Fatha and Dhamma also. So here in this example, مَثَلَانِ الْقَوْمُ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَأَنفُسَهُمْ Read it, Hussein, again. وَأَنفُسَهُمْ
وَأَنفُسَهُمْ
أحسنتم. نون ساكين. What rule is applied?
إخفاء.
إخفاء. Hide the sound of نون. Great. كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ So, Hussein, Hassan, read the next ayah. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فهو المهتدي
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي.
All right, he says من يهدي الله. He pronounced the lam like with a heavy sound. Is that correct?
من يهدي الله.
Ah, this is correct. من يهدي الله. Like بسم الله أعوذ بالله. When there is a fatha before the word Allah, you read it with an aw sound. When there is a dhamma, you read with an aw sound. But when there is a kasra, you read it with an ah sound. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Read it, Hussein, again. May.
May yahdi Allah.
May yahdi Allah. Great. Thank you, Hussein. Read it, Hassan, again. May yahdi Allah fa huwa al muhtadi.
May yahdi Allah.
Alright. Read it again, the whole thing. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي.
مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي.
أحسنتم. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ.
وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, since we're running out of time, I want you to refer to the Tafsir books. I said the translation of this ayah, but I want you to refer to the Tafsir books, inshallah, to learn about the explanation of these two beautiful verses. Well, it took us time to explain the Al-Taqa'u Sakinatain rule, and hope you forgive us. I will recite these two beautiful verses. Hassan, Hussein, Ikbari and Hussein Rahullah will recite after me. Make sure you repeat after me as well, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Everyone ready?
Yes.
All right, read.
Yes.
Repeat after me. Listen. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ساء مثلا القوم الذين كذبوا بآياتنا وأنفسهم كانوا يظلمون.
ساء مثلا القوم الذين كذبوا بآياتنا وأنفسهم كانوا يظلمون.
من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي.
من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي.
وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ.
وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Allah bless you, inshallah. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. That's it from us for today. See you in the next session. Stay with IRB English Radio. We'll be here with you, inshallah, next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان، إليه تنصت الأكوان، وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن. ربنا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You are listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon the Prophet Muhammad and his pure progeny. Respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, please accept my salam. Today, on this session, We start by sending our condolences to our Imam of Time on the commemoration of the martyrdom of Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Sajjad, alayhi salam, whose Sahifa Sajjadiya is a great legacy and a great inheritance from him through the language of du'as that he has taught us. We get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The figure and the personality who was present in Karbala, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously saved him so that he can bear the flag of Islam and move this flag forward to so that it can safely reach to us. So we send our peace and blessings. We send our devotion to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and we wish that we get to pay a visit to his sacred vicinity in Medina, inshallah. So we got to the part that in the 14th dua we focused. The title of the 14th dua was إِذَا أُعْتُدِيَ عَلَيْهِ أَوْ رَأَى مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ مَا لَا يُحِبْ. Whenever he saw, or whenever hostility was shown to him, and when he saw what he did not like in wrongdoers, he recited this dua. And we got to the part that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam initiated and recited another salawat, saying, Allahumma fasalli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Every time there is a salawat, you know that there is a turning point in the duas of Sahifa Sajjadiya. Him insisting on including salawat is something that we need to take a note on. Let's take a quick break. Stay tuned with us. We'll be back momentarily.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
respected listeners to IRIB English Radio. We are together with the program Bridge, and we are focusing on the 14th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyah, where Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is teaching us to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a dua to get relief from an oppressor, someone who is bothering us, someone who is oppressing us, someone who is doing injustice to us. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, read this 14th dua. And it says, it gets to the part that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam starts with a salawat. Anytime you see in the middle of the du'as of Sahifa Sajjadiya, Imam recites a salawat, it's a time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a serious request. And he says, وَخُذْ ظَالِمِي وَعَدُوِّي أَنْ ظُلْمِي. Keep my wrongdoing enemy, ظَالِمِي وَعَدُوِّي, the enemy, from wronging me, from oppressing me, through your strength. I rely on your strength. I rely on you, O Allah. You are my only source of power. You are my only source of hope. Anytime if anyone oppresses me, even though we have to stand up against oppression, even though as the Holy Quran teaches us, do not oppress and do not be oppressed. لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. Right? As he says it in Surah Al-Baqarah. Right? But that is the point. At the same time, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we do not have any power except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens us with. We do not have any ability except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us. وَفْلُلْ حَدَّهُ عَنِّي بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And do what? And blunt his blade toward me through your power. Right? And assign me وَجْعَلْ لَهُ شُغْلًا فِيمَا يَلِيهِ. Assign to him a diversion in that which is close to him. وَعَجْزًا أَمَّا يُنَاوِيهِ. And the inability to reach his enemy. اللهم وصل على محمد وآل محمد. Basically, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sure that this enemy will not be able to have a hand on us. Let's take another break to come and explain what are the three types of dhulms or oppressions that we might be falling into.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Alright, respected brothers and sisters, there's a couple of points to mention about this part of the 14th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiya, where Imam Sajjad alayhi salam makes dua. He says, "Waflul haddahu anni biqudratik." Make him unable, make the sharpness of his sword with your power to not inflict me, to not affect me. And make him busy with what he likes in this dunya, so that he gets so busy and so captivated by his interests in this dunya that he has no time, no energy, no momentum to bother me, to oppress me. And sometimes we fall into the entertainments and amusements of this dunya to the extent that we cannot pursue our normal life. Maybe at some point we have oppressed someone and it's their dua that they asked Allah to, you know, make us amused and make us fall into the trap of the amusements of dunya to the extent that we cannot pursue our routine life, right? And anytime he wants to oppress, Imam Sajjad says, "Oh Allah, give him or punish him with inability or punish him with some sort of disability so that he will not be able to do that to me." Imam Ali alayhi salam says, there are three types of dhulm, right? أَلَا وَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ثَلَاثَةٌ. There are three types of dhulm. فَظُلْمٌ لَا يُغْفَرُ. There is one type of dhulm that will not be forgiven. And وَظُلْمٌ لَا يُتْرَكُ وَظُلْمٌ مَغْفُورٌ. And there is a dhulm that will be asked about, will be questioned about. And there's another type of oppression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Inshallah, in the next session, we will explain these three types of dhulms. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program, The Teacher. Please stay with us.
What will we say in front of it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into most important Islamic teachings and concepts. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Alavian are present in the studio of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Rouhani. Welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Alavian, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another Islamic concept, Islamic teaching, and that is Shahada or martyrdom. Brother Alavian, let's start with you, brother. First of all, define Shahada or martyrdom for us.
Yeah.
Where is it rooted? I mean, historically speaking, does it start with the religion of Islam or before that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Well, Shahada or martyrdom means to be killed on the way and the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is known to be as, in the language and literature of a hadith and narration, to be among the highest and the best kinds of death. I mean, and in a way that in Al-Quran, the book of God, and in narrations, we see the value that has been given to this concept. I mean, a person who has got martyred can find the right of intercession, shafa'ah, for yes. others. And also all his sins are forgiven. I mean, so a person who reaches to this level to actually to sacrifice himself for the sake of God, on the way of God, so is known to be shaheed. So there are different types of shaheed. The shaheed who is actually gets martyred in the battlefield.
That's
or
right.
the one who doesn't get in the battlefield, okay. in some other places. But on the way of God, I mean, on a mission that he was missioned to, and then he got martyred, like the martyrs of mission, or Shahada al-Khidma in Iran,
yes.
that recently
yes.
got martyred.
Okay. So person who is killed in an oppressed way,
yeah.
isn't it?
No,
and being oppressed, even, you know, is called a shaheed.
Very
it?
True.
Okay.
So if it is in a battlefield, this concept,
yes.
actually, there are some fiqh issues that actually are addressed
yes.
to this certain
yes.
and very kind of shahada that, for example, funeral bath is not needed for
okay.
this person to be done. And
mm-hmm.
It's not compulsory for him to or her to have this kind of ghusl or
yes.
a funeral bath. And then the shroud is not even needed for this kind of shahada to be actually to be taken, and I mean they are free from all these formalities that are usually for other dead people and also other shahada or martyrs who have been martyred on other events and other places.
That's right. But Sheikh Rouhani, do we have any Quranic reference to the people who are killed in the way of Allah, for the sake of Allah, and then they are called shaheed or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, the term shaheed, by this concept of shaheed, with this meaning that we now mean, it is not used in the Quran. In the Quran, we have the terms like maqtul.
Yes.
Man qatala wa man qutila, for example.
Qutila fi sabilillah.
Maqtulun fi sabilillah. Qutila fi sabilillah.
Yes.
So this maqtul means shaheed, technically. But the term shaheed used in another concept in the Quran, so that is different. But there is a kind of similarity or shared kind of concept between the term shaheed and man qutila fi sabilillah or maqtul fi sabilillah ta'ala. So shaheed itself means present, when you are in the presence of something, or in your present means shaheed, or shaheed, the one who is present.
Okay.
So why shaheed is called shaheed? Because according to the ayat and riwayat, shaheed is alive. He does not die. You know, the martyrdom of shaheed is not like an end to the life of shaheed.
Yes.
Rather, shaheed is present.
Is always present, all present.
Present,
that's right.
Particularly in the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Jannah. So that's why he is called shaheed.
Sorry, it means also, does it come from shahada, witness to, or
exactly,
not?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yes,
so he has always the witness to the events.
Yes, yes.
Okay, he remains also the witness.
Yeah,
okay.
Shaheed is also shafi'ah.
Shafi'ah, that's right.
He can intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some of the people.
All right.
So these are the maqamat and the positions that shaheed has. So of course, if our brother and sister try to search the term shaheed in the Quran by this concept or content, they may not find shaheed by this kind of meaning and concept is not used in the Quran. They should search the maqtul or qutila fi sabilillahi ta'ala, these kind of
But it has been used by Prophet Muhammad, for example, in the early battles, for example, Uhud battle, the people who have been killed, you know, are called shaheed, isn't it? Even Prophet Muhammad paid visit, for example, to the graves, shed tears for them. Or for example, Hamza, the uncle of Prophet Muhammad, was called as Sayyid al-Shuhada, isn't it?
Yeah.
This title was given to him, so Sayyid al-Shuhada.
Yes, in riwayat, yes, we have.
Yes.
In riwayat, we have. I just meant
the Doyen of the Martyrs, the Prince of the Martyrs.
For example, we have ahadith from Ahl al-Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, from Imam Ridha, alayhi salatu wasalam, saying that the exact shaheed also used by Imam, saying that, Wallahi ma minna illa maqtulun shaheed. Yeah, it refers to the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, that Imam says that all of them are shaheed and martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
All right. So the people, the innocent people and the children that are killed in Gaza now, can they be called a shaheed too? I mean, with the criteria that you define for us, I mean, the standards that you define a shaheed for us, are they considered as shaheed too or not?
Definitely, since they are in the battlefield, they are actually in the very front of the Islamic Ummah. I mean, because they are being massacred and killed, oppressed.
Yes.
So if they are not going to be shaheed, who are going to be shaheed? I mean, these innocent people, I mean, are among the best symbols and samples of shuhada or martyrs, because their lives are taken in the time that they have this right to live. And unfortunately, through oppression of anti-Islamic movement, they are being massacred and killed in this brutal way.
That's all right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha
And does a shaheed has degrees too or not? I mean, for example, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is called the shaheed.
Yeah.
The people who have been killed, for example, in the Iraqi imposed bar on Iran are called shaheed. The yes. people who have missed, we missed, for example, during a COVID-19 pandemic, you know, all these physicians and the doctors were called as the shaheed, for example, or martyrs of the health service or something like that. Yeah. Does it have any degree?
Very true. It's a good question. Yes, shuhada have degrees and ranks. Mm-hmm. The people here, the people, as the, it was asked from the